put on a good show, these young fellas. Look smart, too, in that new uniform. Jungle greens, new FN rifle, new style helmet.
Yeah, they look... They look like 4 years to a good few years ago. Too many years now, eh?
That's true. It's a funny thing, you know. When you see a march like that, army men, it makes you realize how funny we are about these things.
What do you mean, funny?
I mean no Air Force or Navy with them. Same as it was during the war. Either an army action, a Navy action, or an Air Force action.
Oh, break it down.
Fair's fair. Oh, I know we had some cooperation between the three services, like at Borneo or back in Tobruk.
Fair dickum you're having yourself on. I was always supporting each other. Always.
Yeah, I know. Supporting, but not into action together.
Huh? Now, listen.
All right, you were 6TV. Now, tell me how often you fought alongside the Navy and the Air Force.
Almost all along the line. You pick any campaign we were in, and I'll tell you where the Navy and the Air Force was. Yeah, now, go on. Now, tell me one. Go on.
I get shitty. I'll be happy to hear it. Now, let's think. Kenner. He was 6TV. Just tell us what the Navy and the Air Force was doing with your joggers when that bloke Kenner won the VC.
Citation. Presenting authentic stories of heroism and gallantry taken from the histories of war. The story of VX-102-142, Private Edward Kenner. May 1945. Wewak, New Guinea. The enemy had been pushed back along the steamy coast to Wewak, and there he dug in to fight desperately in last-ditch stands. His men were starved, but continued to fight with the fury of fanatics. The battle-wise veterans of the 6th Division pushed on, cutting down the enemy on the road to Wewak.
Come on, Coppertop.
Just don't be too anxious. I've been in this war long enough now without getting knocked off on the home
front. We've knocked them all off. Nothing but dead Japs out there now.
Yeah. Well, I've heard Jokers say that about Italians and Germans and Japs. They notice a lot of empty spaces in their ranks.
Well, the 2nd 4th has been fighting a long time, Ginger.
And we'll be fighting for a long while yet. Yeah. It seems quite all right. Come on.
Hey, look at that. Look at them. Dead everywhere. We didn't kill that many Japs here.
Well, and we weren't firing rockets and naval shells either. The Air Force and Navy's been here before us. Well, that was at Cape Wom in the Wewak area. It was early in May 45. We came on about 100 graves, Jap graves. And there was about 50 other dead Japs lying all around, all being killed by our artillery, fired from warships off the coast, or bombing by our Air Force.
Oh, that was supporting action.
I'll say it was, and close supporting action. And then we came to this Wewak point. The Japs had 20mm guns sighted there. They dug themselves into the cliff face. It was like they was in a fortress. We had tanks, guns, and flamethrowers. And the attack on the point was time for first light. But when she broke, it was raining like steam.
Get away,
boys! We'll never shift them, Coppertop. They're like rabbits in barrels.
We'll shift them. It'll take a little longer than we planned, but we'll shift them.
Close.
Sniper up there. See?
Yeah.
Another sniper left. Hear that?
Yeah.
That's probably help shift them. Navy gunfire. Our warship's out there, a blast now. Point blank. Won't be long now.
Nor was it long before the Japanese garrison on Wewak Point was wiped out. Of the Japanese who had fanatically defended this strong point, only three escaped. The men of the 2nd 4th Battalion who had carried out this final assault were justly proud when they hoisted the Union Jack on a shell-scarred observation tower overlooking what had once been a strong Japanese base.
Like I was saying, only in support.
Hold. We had WEWAC, all right, but that wasn't the end of it, not by a long shot. There was another Jap strong post ahead for early mission. The Japs were there in strength. They'd been shelling us on a mission while we were advancing on WEWAC Point.
All land fighting. What I was saying was, no combined assault. And I picked this here WEWAC campaign out of the blue.
So while us blokes ashore are pushing on WEWAC Point, there's a force called Farida Force consisting of our soldiers and warships. Now let's see, there was HMS Hobart, Warramunga, Arunta, Swan and Karlak. There was four or five motor launches, Navy stuff. There was a British Navy ship. Now, what was her name? HMS Newfoundland. And up in the sky, there was our Beaufort bombers. And while we pushed ahead, they came in. Right in.
Gosh, what's that?
That'll be that land, air and sea attack, that name Parada. Listen to them. Music for these tired old ears.
They're ahead of us, aren't they?
Yeah, that was the plan. Parada Force is landing ahead of us with sea and air support to cut off these Japs we're pushing out of WEWAC. We're hitting them left, right and center.
Well, I didn't know about that. The Farida Force, they called it, eh? Was it successful?
Yeah. Cut right into the Jap positions. On the 14th of May, they'd consolidated. Real successful piece of cooperation by the three services, it was.
Well, so from then on, the WEWAC show would have been a pushover, right?
Well, no. There was this Furui mission ahead. And the Japs on mission in an observation over the whole area, and they were dug in. Had a whole network of fortifications dug in. Boy, she was a tough one.
Well, what about your combined services assault there?
No, that's not practical there. The only position from which we could get observation for supporting fire under that spur running northwest was under Jap observation. They kept sweeping it up with fire. We couldn't get a gun or mortar up there.
Yeah, I get it.
See, all we could do was to bring up one of our platoons to deal with the enemy machine gun that kept blasting at us. And we called for a platoon and one came forward. One bloke in it was Ted Kenner, a private in the 2nd 4th, who came from Hamilton of Victoria. His section moved in close as possible to the enemy bunker to harass the enemy.
You think they see us?
We found out a long time ago that story about all Japs being blind was a furphy.
Of course they can see us when we move.
Watch.
Oh, they got us cold.
Maybe. But we've got to keep this bunker occupied while the rest of the platoon comes in from the northern flank.
Yeah, a tasty old job.
Get down.
So each time a man of the harassing platoon showed his head, he was greeted with a burst of Japanese machine gun fire from the strong point on the top of the spur. Casualties were suffered by the Australians, and their plan for attack was being frustrated by that well-sighted and fortified machine gun. Then...
Look, Corbettop. Look at Ted Kenner.
Now, don't get your tonsils in a knot. He's trying to get his Bren into a firing position.
But he can't. Any move he makes puts him in the open.
That's right. I reckon he knows that, too.
He can't get onto them lying there on the ground.
I reckon he knows that, too.
Look. He's standing up.
Oh.
Standing straight up with his Bren. And he's firing at him. Standing there firing that machine gun.
And they're firing right back at him. Let's just kill one shot at the last.
Private Kenner found that he was unable to engage that Japanese machine gun from where he lay on the ground, and so, on his own initiative, he crept closer. Then, within 50 yards of the Japanese position, rose, and, standing in full view, engaged the enemy bunker, firing his Bren gun from his hip.
This can't last. He can't survive this one.
One of them has to go. What a sight!
His magazine's empty.
Sir, now he's done it. His magazine's empty.
As Kenneth fired his Bren gun from the hip, the enemy machine gun returned the fire, so that the bullets passed between his arms and his body. Undeterred, he remained completely exposed and continued to fire at the enemy until his magazine was exhausted. Then, realizing that from the position where he now stood, he was unable to shoot with complete accuracy, he threw down his Bren.
He's dropped his Bren. Taken his wife.
He's a better shot with his rifle, but he better make it quick. That machine gun, I must hit him. First shot. First shot, he dropped that jet machine gunner.
Oh, there's another one on the...
He did it!
He fired off of nearly two shots and put both top guns out.
The citation for Private Kenner's VC records that the result of his magnificent bravery was that the bunker was captured without further loss, and badly needed observation was obtained of the remaining enemy positions. Private Kenner's great valor and complete disregard for his own safety made the success of the company attack possible and saved heavy casualties. His action was an outstanding example of the highest degree of bravery.
Like I said, it finally came down to the soldier on the ground.
Ah, that's where you go wrong. It was all part of the picture, cooperation between the Army, Navy, and the Air Force. And in each of those three services, individual acts of heroism such as Ted Kenner's. They were all part of the pattern that gave us victory.
Citation. These stories are authentic. The program is produced at AWA by Donald Crosby for Army Public Relations.